everyone. I'm Chris Michael, and welcome to Sports Talk. Good to be back with another live edition of the show. We've been off the last several weeks because of high school baseball broadcasts on RCN TV. Hope you enjoyed all of that great coverage. But we are back live, and we're talking a lot of pro sports, basketball, baseball, and football on the program tonight. So let's get right to the introductions. Of course, the co-host of the program, senior sports writer at the Morning Call, Mr. Keith Edward Groler, and from Football Stories Magazine, the editor-in-chief, and also a guy who covers a lot of different pro sports in Philadelphia and beyond. Very versatile. Al Thompson is here in the house with us.
I'm glad you didn't say my middle name.
I don't know your middle. Can I have it?
Benedict.
Ooh,
Al,
that's interesting.
Benedict Thompson.
Remember that for next time.
Yeah, next time. We're going to put that on the graphics, too. All right. Well, gentlemen, thanks for being here. Al, thanks for making the long trip up from the Philadelphia area.
Well, a great drive, I heard.
Well, you've got Philly, it's pretty horrible. But once you get on the Northeast Extension, it's just track meet.
You had time to spare.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yes.
Let's start with the sport that you cover the most. And, again, we've been off the last couple weeks, so we really haven't had a chance to talk about the draft in general with the Eagles, Redskins, Giants, or anyone for that matter. So let's just start there. And, you know, the first 8 years we were on the show, I was always very critical of the Eagles and what they did with their offseason moves and their draft moves. I think in the last couple years, though, with the exception of maybe Marcus Smith, I think they've done an outstanding job filling holes, addressing needs, working the cap, and really bringing in some really good talent. It hasn't always panned out, as it turns out, but on paper, as we stand right now, I thought it was a pretty good job by the Eagles brass once again. Your thoughts on the Eagles draft?
Yeah, what can you say? You're not being a homer by saying this Eagles team is stacked. From what I can see, it's a prohibitive favorite to win the NFC, not just the NFC East. Mm. And when you bring DeSean Jackson back, who still has that fifth gear, and we're seeing it at the OTAs, and he's been there. He's been great.
Has his mom been there? That's the big, because she's very active. DeSean Jackson's mom's been very active on social media.
So. Yeah, well, he's a different person. I mean, yeah. He is so much more mature now. He seems like he wants to come back and be a leader. He's just been terrific. He's shaking hands with all the reporters and being available. And
that is a big change from before.
So you can just see it in him, in his whole demeanor, of just a calmness to him. Now he's got three kids, I think, and I think that kind of calmed down a lot. Mm-hmm. And but he came back here knowing this is it. He's, 31 to 32 years old.
Yeah.
He still has his speed, but this is it. You're going to win a Super Bowl in the next 2 years, or it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And he can do it like an Andre Rison kind of thing, where he can come in and really complete an already pretty good offense that you saw with the Green Bay Packers that year that won the one Super Bowl Brett Favre won. And Andre Rison was the missing ingredient mm-hmm. that year. This could be, for Carson Wentz, and they have had a magical – you just watch them at the OTAs, and the chemistry that they're building is really noticeable. And it's good that Alshon Jeffery, some of these other guys aren't there. Nelson Aguilar has been there, but he's not practicing that much. It's good that they get to he gets to throw the ball a lot to DeSean,
mm-hmm.
and you can really see. People kidded us a couple years ago when we said that Nelson Aguilar, where do you see him? He's a changed man. Remember, he was mm-hmm. in the depths of a slump, and you didn't think he was going to stay. And then we kept saying, hey, you should see him at the OTAs. And then he had a great year, and they won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
You have to say the same thing that's going on with DeSean Jackson and Carson Wentz. They're really clicking. So there's been a lot of positive things. A lot of guys are missing, but I think that's going to be more of a trend in the NFL now. Some of the veterans who already have their roster spot no matter what, Lane Johnson, Malcolm Jenkins, which may be more for his contract, but some of the veterans just are skipping the non-mandatory workouts, and it's better for the rookies, mm-hmm. and especially when you have a left tackle situation and a right guard situation that you need to train guys that are going to be able to get in there. So and Andre Dillard, what a pick! Iron sharpens iron is the big saying down there, because you already thought that they were all set at left tackle, what they were going to do, whether it was going to be Hal Vaitai or whomever, and then they draft the left tackle.
Yeah.
and Jordan Mailata, is he
were you surprised
now?
By the pick, and were you surprised that they traded up for him? Because I thought he was going to go a lot earlier than where the Eagles ended up trading
his
up
rating
to get.
Was, he should have been like a top 15 guy,
yeah.
And when they saw he was there, and they saw that, I'm not sure who the other team was, but they have, Joe Douglas has that relationship with the Ravens, and he he was able to pull off that that switch, that trade, and they get him, and they're thrilled. Miles Sanders was a great pick in the second round. All of a sudden, the quarterback room with Jordan Howard and Corey Clement, if he comes back, all of a sudden, you're like, wow.
Is there any problems whatsoever? No, look, we in the media, we always got to seek out these problems.
We'll get the defensive backfield a little bit, right?
I mean, is there any concerns whatsoever as we –
I think at right guard is the biggest question mark, because we don't know if Brandon Brooks is going to come back. He could be back for the opener, or he might not be back at all for this season. Achilles tear. Think about what happened to Ryan Howard. He was never the same.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Peters has really not been the same since he did the same thing to him. Will Brandon Brooks be okay? We don't know. So they are pulling out all the stops at right guard. They brought Stephen Wisniewski back. Mm-hmm. They have switched Hal Vitae is now practicing as a right guard. My friend, partner Brian Baldinger from Football Stories, obviously from the NFL Network, thinks that they may have Andre Dillard be the starting right guard. Mm. So they're trying all kinds of things there, because you got the quarterback coming back from just injury after injury, and you can't take any chance whatsoever of a potential MVP caliber quarterback to get hurt. And how's he going to get hurt if you don't have a super solid offensive line? I brought with me the top 25 Pro Football Focus, and three of the Eagles are on it, that not including Jason Peters. Lane Johnson, Brandon Brooks, and Jason Kelce was rated number 3 overall of all offensive linemen in the NFL. And that was kind of my blurb on social media, that he was going to retire this year. He wasn't going to play this year. And it was accurate. But it worked out for him, because he got a really nice extension. Mm-hmm. And I guess the Eagles took that, that whole situation very seriously. And now he's coming back as the third-rated, according to Pro Football Focus, third-highest-rated offensive lineman in the NFL. And so they're super solid there, but that right guard spot is the one thing I think you really have to worry about.
You mentioned Joe Douglas. Is he going to the Jets?
No, they don't know yet. Unless it happened this afternoon on my way up here.
That would be a big loss, because I think you were one of the first guys who clued me in that this guy's really good, really sharp.
He's tremendous.
And Howie Roseman's done a good job, but I think
he was his Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
He was the one that came in and really complimented Howie Roseman. He is an artist at the offseason, where he admits that this is his most fun of the draft weekend is not making the picks, it's recruiting free agents and rookie free agents, guys who weren't picked. And he found his biggest claim to fame is going to be Corey Clement. Guy comes in, never caught a pass out of the backfield at Wisconsin. Now he's one of wheel routes in the Super Bowl, and comes up with 100 yards and a touchdown, and was a key member of that championships, was not even drafted, and that was Joe Douglas. And so is he going to find some more gems? He got a ton of offensive linemen that he brought in here, including Ryan Bates from Archbishop Wood, from Aranek. This kid Herbig, they think that he was going to be a first-round draft pick after his sophomore year at Stanford, and then something happened. He got injured, and he just kind of did Nelson Aguilar, where he just brain got scrambled a little bit, and he drifted. He didn't even get drafted. So they think he may be a guard. He's a guard. I mean, he's not going to play anything but guard. Mm-hmm. But he could be a gem that Joe Douglas found before he leaves to go try to save the Jets. But you have to wonder, he's got a perfect situation in Philadelphia. He's well-liked. The fans love him. Jeffrey Lurie loves him. Harry Roseman loves him. They don't want to lose him. They don't want him to go.
Mm-hmm.
Does he go up to that crazy place at the Jets, who's been mess for decades?
He has an opportunity to call his own shot there. I mean,
right.
Everybody is enamored with that. Yeah,
he's in a position of strength, and he does have a relationship with Adam Gase. But it's up to him. It's really going to be up to him, I think. But they haven't made the decision yet, as far as I know.
Could you talk a little bit more about Andre Dillard? I know you featured him on the cover of the latest edition of Football Stories magazine. And there was some talk when he was first drafted. One of the reporters had asked him, can you move around? Can you play right tackle? Can you play guard? And I guess he said, yeah, I moved around a little bit in college. And then someone came out and said, well, according to the stats, he didn't play anything other than left tackle. But could you talk about, has there been more development? And what are his chances of moving over to either the the right side or the right guard, right tackle, so forth?
Well, he obviously, like you said, he only played tackle in college, left tackle, and he's coming here. It was in the and he all he did was pass block at Washington. When he went to the Senior Bowl, he really blew everybody away with his run blocking. And where this came out of, no one, you know, he said it was, I've always been able to do this. They just didn't do it at Washington. But he blew everybody away with his run blocking, and that's what really made his stock skyrocket, that he could do, he's a complete player. And he's so athletic, and he's so smart, that they think that they could possibly train him to become, to be, you know, if they want to get him into that starting lineup, if they want the best five offensive linemen. Brian Baldinger always says, don't worry about position. You just want your five best offensive linemen to start the game. Mm-hmm. And if he's one of the five best, he's probably going to start the season at right guard. But that remains to be seen when they put the pads on. Coach Peterson said, don't even try to, and Jim Schwartz said the same thing, don't even try to evaluate people in these OTAs and mini camps and all that. He said that it's not until training camp when they put the pads on that you can really start evaluating. So, but Dillard's an interesting player that they drafted him so high. He is the future at left tackle, but can they use him at right guard for the time being? Sure.
Al, the key guy still is Mr. Wentz.
Yeah.
And what, where his, how would you evaluate him so far? Is he happier? Human nature being that Nick Foles is not in Philadelphia anymore. Nick is in, you know, owned the town after winning the Super Bowl.
Sure.
Always was going to be compared, the two of them.
I think, until he wins his own Super Bowl. But go ahead.
But I would think Nick being in Jacksonville now should give a little bit more sense of comfort and confidence to Carson that he doesn't have to look over his shoulder quite as much.
Oh, yeah, and he seems to be relaxing a little bit outside and inside. He's actually been in the locker room every day. In the past, he was just kind of aloof. You never saw him. He just did his press conferences. He was very nice, but he didn't have that Eli Manning quality to him, where Eli just walks into the locker room. You've been up there.
Yes.
He just walks around like he's an offensive lineman. He doesn't care, and you can go over and talk to him. Sam Bradford was like that. A lot of the other quarterbacks that were here, Donovan McNabb was a clown the whole time, the media sessions when the locker room was open. He would go up and grab your microphone and start interviewing the player you were talking to just to have fun. You know, you could all go up to Sam Bradford and ask him about Oklahoma or whatever. But you never could really do that with Carson. He was just always, he wanted to be this, like, homogenized product or marketing thing. And I think that, you know, some things happened over the summer. The story came out about him not being a good teammate or whatever. I don't know how true that was, but he seems a little bit loose. Out on the field, he's not wearing the knee brace anymore. He is... you know, he doesn't dive after, you know, a loose ball or anything crazy, because you're the Carson, your number one situation is, we all know how great you are. You just got to be on the field. And you just can't take chances like you used to your first couple of years. He's been injured every single year for the last 4 years, and significant time he's missed. And but he looks great, but he's only just playing catch. He's not doing any crazy scrambles or any of that stuff. So,
you mentioned the Giants, and I see you up there at the Meadowlands. And I don't think anything that the Giants have done, maybe they've taken a couple steps back. I'm not sure with all the players that they've let go.
Yeah.
Although they probably just needed a whole cleansing. But look around that division. That's got to make you more confident about the Eagles' chances as well. The division really, I don't think anybody really stepped forward.
No,
in my
opinion. Cowboys did nothing.
Yeah.
Not much. The Redskins, they got a quarterback, but they just seem to self-implode every year somehow. Zach Brown's had some hilarious interviews about that, how the Eagles are like a completely different club, and he's like waiting for Lane Johnson to get back in so that he can pay homage to him for saying what he said last year. So they're not going anywhere. But the one thing you can say, did the Giants get better by subtraction? Were these players all talented, but they got used to losing? They were complacent. Whether it's Landon Collins, whether it's Odell Beckham, whether it's some of the other players, Olivia Vernon, was it these players? They're talented. made Pro Bowls, but they just accepted losing too much. They
got But it didn't help when OBJ would talk about rather be in L.A. or someplace else. I mean, that didn't help the chemistry.
No. But the positives they did was Mike Remmers and bringing him in, a talented offensive lineman who has had some epic bad plays in, like, really big games in the playoffs. You remember he got crushed by Von Miller in the Super Bowl when he was playing for Carolina. And in 17, he was the interior lineman when Chris Long smacked the ball out of Case Keenum's hand. That was Mike Remmers. But he's a very good player otherwise. And they also brought in Kevin Zietler. He was the guy they got for Odell Beckham. He's a Pro Bowl caliber guard. So they improved tremendously on the offensive line. But that's pretty much about it.
Yeah, I know a lot of people in the Lehigh Valley that are Saquon Barkley fans were hoping they would make more of an impact. So, he's such a great talent, and at the same time, you got to surround him with some talent to make sure that he can his career can take off and the team can have more success.
Well, his O-line's better. Yeah. That's a fact. But the everything else, you've got an aging quarterback that they're not going to. He's going to play. We'll see if those other parts can play better now without all the distractions. You know,
our special guest is Al Thompson. We're going to continue the NFL talk and also talk in some NBA and Major League Baseball talk that Al frequently covers in a little later on in tonight's program. But right now we have a very special prize to give away. We'll get to our trivia question and then Keith can show off our special giveaway item tonight on the program. But tonight's trivia question does involve the NFL. It's a hard one. We had to make this a little tougher because we're giving away a very nice prize this week. What 1930s NFL team owner, later an NFL commissioner, originally pitched the idea to draft NFL football players? Which owner and later an NFL commissioner originally came up with the idea of the NFL football draft? And if you are the first person to call in with a correct answer, Keith, what will you win tonight?
This wonderful $20 Wawa gift card, and I'll tell you what, I love Wawa. You love Wawa. Everybody loves Wawa. I was there tonight at the Shanersville Road One, and I've hit every Wawa in the Lehigh Valley over the course of the last couple years, and they're all my favorite stops. You want a Wawa gift card, you can get a lot of great things. Great specials they have right now at Wawa. Love it.
All you have to do is be the first person to correctly call in and answer the question, which 1930s NFL team owner, later an NFL commissioner, came up with the idea or pitched the idea for the NFL football draft. All right, time for our first break of the evening. And as we head to our break and our timeout feature of the evening, Mitch Wolding, earlier up with the Phillies, was demoted to AAA last month and then struggled initially, but of late has been battling back thanks not only to an improved swing, but also his versatility in the field. We talked recently with Mitch about those topics.
I think it's just, like comfortability. I was here last year, so obviously coming back, you kind of know how everything works, whether it's just the day-to-day stuff in the game. So it's I think comfortability is just, is a nice advantage. You don't know a lot of the coaching staff and really what to expect and all the things. And I think going in there this year, you kind of know how things are going to be ran, and you have your coaches and your buddies now. It's just kind of just learning how everything goes in your day-by-day process. That's not my call, but if I had to guess, I'd say yeah, but I know I could be playing anywhere at any time. And when that happens, I'll be wherever I need to be and then go from there. So, the more positions the merrier. As long as you can learn positions, you can play all over and give you a better chance to be in that lineup every night. So, like I said, whatever Gary Jones has in store for me, I'm ready to do it. So it'll be fun. It's kind of based on what they want you to do. If they say, hey, we take some reps out and left or take some reps here or there, you go, okay, yeah. And you know that they're obviously considering you for those positions at the next level, if so be. So it's, it's continuing to work and whatever they have you at.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Our special guest from Football Stories, Al Thompson, joining Keith Groller and myself. Just to satisfy Mr. Zaya here on camera one here, this is a $20 gift certificate. We are not, he's saying, well, it's a gift certificate, but there's no money on it.
Look at that.
It's a $20. See, Zaya, look at this.
$20. That sticker wouldn't lie. I can't get the finger there. There we go. It's $20 right there, baby.
What finger were you giving Zaya?
He's number one. He's always number one.
Well, that's when you also pick up your football stories in the Philadelphia area.
I was going to ask you about where you can pick them up in the Delaware Valley. Is there specific ones?
No, about 150 Super Wawas.
Al, I don't want to digress.
In three states.
But have you been there? There's a mega one in the heart of town. Have you been to that one? You're a Philadelphian.
The mega Wawa?
Yeah, isn't that one right in Chestnut Street, right in the heart? I mean, it's like huge.
I haven't been to that one yet. Okay. I know they had one down. By the convention center, the Pennsylvania Convention Center, 11th and Arch, but I think that's gone now.
Is it the Liberty Bell in Chestnut Street?
Oh, wow.
No, right in that vicinity. Okay.
They're all over the place now.
I love them. They're a gold mine, too.
All right, so that is our prize giveaway. The question again, if you're just joining us, what 1930s NFL team owner, later NFL commissioner, originally pitched the idea of drafting football players? Continuing with the NFL draft, Miles Sanders, a lot of people who are Penn State fans excited about that pickup. Miles is saying, obviously, he is a three-down back. I'd be shocked if he would say anything other than that. But the Eagles, once again, it looks like they've been stockpiling and adding to players that they've had. I mean, they brought Howard in. They have Sanders now here. How do you see the running back position shaking out for the Eagles this year?
It's really gotten, it looked bleak when the season ended. They had so many players hurt. Jay Ajayi, just fell apart with his knees. He couldn't play at all. By the end of the season, they just didn't have anybody. They had no running game at all. They couldn't trust Josh Allen, I believe it was, in the playoff game. Josh Adams, excuse me. In the playoff game, because they were afraid he was going to fumble. And against New Orleans, because he had the big fumble against the Bears, but it didn't. They ended up winning the game, but it looked really bleak. And then they come up with these two guys, Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders' biggest asset is the fact that he didn't play much at
Penn
State.
Yeah.
He really didn't. I mean, compared to Saquon Barkley, Barkley enters the NFL with a lot of mileage on his legs. Sanders, not so much. Mm. You had Trace McSorley. But the biggest thing with me is with him is I still remember, I can't get out of my head, is the Ohio State game where McSorley had 200 yards rushing in that game, if I'm not mistaken, last year. Mm-hmm. And Sanders, Ohio State owned him. They completely shut him down. He had almost no yards. And for some reason, James Franklin decided to go with Sanders on a fourth and a couple yards with the game on the line, possibly the Big Ten title. Yep. And Sanders came up really short. Now, it may have been a bad blocking. It may have been a lot of things. But the bottom line is he got nothing. And I just have that image of him. And it's terrible. I shouldn't. But that's my image of Miles Sanders. I hope that he does really well for the Eagles. Who wouldn't? But he was another one, like Andre Miller, when he got to the combine, when he got to where they could see him and test him and things that they were looking at from him, he aced it. Mm-hmm. And that's when his stock rose. I mean, he went all the way up to a second-round draft pick. And nobody was surprised that the Eagles took him in the second round, that he was that quality of a player. And for a running back these days, that's really high. Saquon's the extreme exception.
Number two, yeah.
To be number two overall. Most running backs don't go in the first round anymore. Mm-hmm. So if you're picked in the second round, you're a pretty good college running back. You know, so. But yeah, I mean, it went from being what are we going to do to being one of the strongest assets, strongest positions on the team.
Yeah. And your thoughts on Whiteside, the receiver out of Stanford? A lot of people say that he's very similar to Alshon Jeffries. Can he make an impact this year? Is he Jeffries? Could he be his replacement down the line as they look to try to clear some cap space after this year? What do you think his role
could be? Well, I think that they're going to try to make him a big target in the red zone. What was the number one problem with the Eagles last year before Wentz got hurt? Revealed that he was hurt after the Dallas away game, was they couldn't score in the first half. They were the worst scoring team in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. You need big targets in the end zone for Wentz to, you know, when he was his 2017 season that everybody keeps referring to, he was unstoppable in the red zone, and they need to build that up again. Zach Ertz is your big target about down there. Alshon Jeffrey, but is it predictable? Give him this team again. I refer back to Brian Baldinger because him and Joe Douglas are really close, mm-hmm. And they talk a lot about the team. And he said that the objective, even if it's defense, they're building around Carson Wentz. everything they do is about Carson Wentz, and he's another weapon for the end zone. Does he break into this? How do you break into this lineup right now? How do you get in there? So he's going to have to earn his way in, you know, but he's another, they're adding depth to a strong, you know, contingent. So if somebody goes down, if they lose one of these guys to injury, they're hoping that this guy will be able to come in.
Schedule, yeah. Your thoughts on the schedule?
I think it's pretty favorable, especially at the very beginning, the open against the Washington Redskins, and you couldn't ask for a better.
That's in Philly, right?
Yeah, you're at home against the Redskins, who are struggling to say the least. Mm-hmm. And now they're Trent Williams just announced he wants out. He was your best player on offense, probably, and he hasn't been to any of the voluntary things, and he's saying he's not coming next week. So. And maybe they already did start it, but he's not coming in until something is done. Because now he went from being one of the highest paid tackles in the game to where many players have passed him. He was on the Pro Football Focus top 25 near the bottom, but he was still on the list. So he's still an outstanding player. He plays through injuries. He's a team's dream, but he's a. You know, it's just another problem that these guys have, you know, so.
Overall, I mean, it just seems like a more positive vibe. Weird to say, but a more positive vibe going into this season than last season, because it was still celebratory haze, if you will, you know.
This franchise did not know how to, I don't want to say the word handle success, they didn't know how to organize themselves after it was over. There was, you know, you have Corey Clement giving commencement speeches to schools he didn't even go to afterwards. He's up there in a gown and everything, and I'm like, oh my God. And everybody was, you know, writing books or going on book tours. You saw, you're looking on morning television, and there, Good Morning America, and there's Nick Foles sitting there, you know, selling his book. The coach did the same thing. He wrote a book.
Yep.
And so how do you got to manage yourself better. And even Lane Johnson said, it never stopped. And even if you were in the media, it just never stopped. You never left the locker room. Yeah. It was always something going on that you went over to the NovaCare Center for. So I think this year they have their heads a little bit screwed on straighter than they did in the offseason last year.
Probably the hunger's back, too.
The hunger's, there's no question. If Vinnie Curry came back and he just said, it just was never the same. I just never realized how amazing the Philadelphia Eagles run this team that they came back and
Deshaun too probably wanted to come back really bad. It probably hurt him to see the Eagles celebrate in Minnesota that night because he was a part of the billing of the thing, you know.
Yeah, and he looks like he probably kissed the locker room floor. We didn't see it, but I wouldn't be surprised if he literally walked in there and kissed the floor.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Karen from Allentown would like to take a shot at our trivia question. Karen, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hi.
Hi, Karen. How are you doing this evening?
I'm well. How about you?
Oh, doing great. Glad to be back.
The answer, is it Burt Bell?
Absolutely. Did you? You're certainly not old enough to remember that. How'd you know that?
My husband knew it.
Your husband knew that. Oh, okay.
Yep.
Well, that's good.
Well, I'm going to tell you, you are the lucky recipient of this gift card. And if you don't know where to spend it, I'll tell you where to spend it. Just go to that deli, and you're going to wind up with a great sandwich. This is probably the best thing we've given out in a while, Chris.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, VOD is good, too. I'm not going to touch the DVDs.
But
no,
you're a lucky lady, Karen. You're a lucky lady. It's all I can say.
Yeah, Keith will probably be dropping it off, so you may have to take him with you.
Okay.
What's your favorite Wawa?
My favorite Wawa is over on Irving Street, Irving and Union Boulevard.
I know it well. Yep, absolutely.
Popular place. Mm-hmm. All right, Karen, thanks for chiming in. We'll be in contact with you about getting that $20 gift certificate to you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so the trivia question is off the board. Real quick, before we go to our next segment here, which involves, of course, the one and only Keith Grohler, Sharif Miller, another Penn State guy, got drafted at defensive end. They're already, again, solid at end. I guess it's one of those value picks. Were you a little surprised they didn't go after a linebacker?
No, because they had picked up Zach Brown. They picked up, I think it was Fort. And they don't play very many. Sometimes they only have one linebacker out there. Yeah. So they want to rush the passer. They build everything on the line. And Sharif Miller was there. He had a really good rating. He had 14 and a half sacks, I think, during his career at Penn State. He had big plays in big games when they upset Ohio State. He played well in that game as a redshirt, I think, freshman. And so big kid. I mean, you see him in person. He's really impressive. Mm-hmm. And very confident. He's coming in here kind of like Kelsey did and Bo Allen, where he just came in and, I belong. And why am I in this temporary locker? He didn't say that, but I'm just saying he is, you know, he's here to play, and I think they're going to be. And Jim Schwartz said some really good things about him. He's long, and he has all the attributes you need to be a successful D lineman in the NFL.
I know a lot of people are rooting for him with the Penn State ties. They're rooting for him.
The Eagles don't play that many linebackers during their games. Sometimes it's just one guy. So the Cameron Grugier Hill is going to come back. I'm trying to think. Brandon Graham is still going to be back, but he's basically a Nigel Bradham is who I'm thinking about, who has been playing stellar football for them. So it's really going to be Camus, Grugier Hill, and Nigel Bradham. And so, no, I don't think they were worried about it.
All right. It's time for Mr. Groller's segment. This is where Keith sounds off and talks about everything and anything on his sports mind. Keith?
Well, today we want to congratulate one team and kind of – well, actually congratulate a couple teams, but certainly want to congratulate Notre Dame baseball. They advanced. They're the last team standing in the spring sports season, the Notre Dame Green Pond Crusaders moving on to the state semifinals. They had a big win earlier today. Sadly, Parkland lost in their softball quarterfinal to Springford, 4-1. Great season by the Trojans. They finished 25-3. And as we're taping, I believe the game's still going on out of Lions. Northern Lehigh playing Susquehanna, and the Bulldogs were losing. They gave up 5 runs in the first inning, and were trailing, last I looked, 5-2. But we certainly had a great high school sports season. With the end of the high school sports season comes departures, coaches resigning, I believe. Did I see Mike Pochran?
Mike Pochran just stepped down after 40
Salisbury.
Years.
Yeah, what a great run he had with Salisbury. But one who was near and dear to so many here at RCN, the great Tony Coca, who has been involved in coaching since 1971. Nearly 50 years he's been involved in coaching. And no matter if it was the Whitehall football team, the NACAC softball team, the Nazareth softball team, Tony always brought great humility to the often too intense world of high school sports. He got it. Tony always got it that we're here to help develop kids. Yes, the championships are great. The accolades are great. But it's about developing kids and getting them to learn life's lessons. He did it. He always coached with a wink and a smile. And that's, in a sense, that's what he does on the sidelines for us here at RCN on football Friday nights. It'll be, you can catch him at the McDonald's game next week. But Tony Coca, again, a job well done. Maybe not the championships that some other people had, but wherever he went, he made that program a better program, and he had a lot of fun doing it, and he really brought the love of high school sports to so many kids.
And by the way, Keith, Tony is not retiring from RCN. In fact, he will not only be on the sidelines with Gary on the live crew games, but he's also going to be with me in the booth for a number of games this fall.
That's terrific. That's so terrific. Keep him. And I think he needs that. He needs still be connected. I know that the coaching part of his life is now over, but I'm glad he's still going to be connected to high school sports in some way. And he's a very knowledgeable man, he's a very busy man, too. I don't know if everybody knows. He's also the Whitehall Township Recreation Director.
I was worried his travel plans would interfere with him doing some Saturday football games this fall, but supposedly he's on board for that, too. Al, you have breaking news here. Your phone just lit up a moment ago, right?
The Eagles and quarterback Carson Wentz have agreed to terms on a 4-year contract extension through 2024.
Ooh, 2024.
How much it is? We just got the note from the Eagles on that. We get it a little bit ahead of the actual release to the the usual outlets. So they give people who are around the team a lot, they give us a little heads up.
Oh, thank you for that.
Yeah, there you go. You got it on yours. You're buzzed at the same time, right?
Yeah. By the way, we're live. This isn't taped, by the way, Keith. You said we're taping the show right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what I meant.
But we had breaking news right there. Carson Wentz signed a 4-year extension. And I'm sure, supposedly it was,
He better stay healthy now.
I'm sure there's a lot of guaranteed money there.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
And like Keith was saying, is that they have done a good job of managing their money and their salary cap to be able to pull this move off. And they still have a stacked team. So kudos to Joe Douglas, if he does leave, is leaving with a leaving the team a lot better than it was when he got here.
Absolutely. He deserves a lot of credit.
Yeah.
All right. As we head to our second break, a quick reminder that we have not one but two big shows for Buffalo Wild Wings coming up later this month that we want you to check out. The first one will be on June 20th. This will be our rescheduled show featuring Jose Medina and members of the state champion Bethlehem Catholic girls basketball team. That show we were supposed to do last month was canceled because of a bad forecast for the evening, and so we've rescheduled that for Thursday, June 20th. At 7 p.m. And then the very next week, we're going to have members from the Blue Mountain League out at Buffalo Wild Wings in Whitehall on Grape Street to talk about the Blue Mountain League season, which at that point will be approaching the All-Star game. So 2 months of Blue Mountain League baseball to talk about and a look ahead to what promises to be an exciting final month before the playoffs. So mark your calendars and schedule to come on out and support these great organizations that will be out on our show at Buffalo Wild Wings on June 20th. And June 27th. The money raised there also goes to a charity. There's more information on the website, which you can check out. Go to rcn.com/rcntv. Go to the Buffalo Wild Wings logo. Click on all those things there and then print out the flyer so that you can bring the flyer with you so that 10% of your food bill goes to support local Lehigh Valley charities. More sports talk coming up in just a moment.
Your chance to interact with us. Call, email, or tweet us your comments, questions, and opinions. We want to hear from you right now. And now, here's more RCN Sports Talk.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Our special guest, Al Thompson from Football Stories Magazine, joining Keith Groehler and myself. We're talking NFL for the first half of the program. Al spends a lot of time covering other sports, too, and I just want to get a few moments of your thoughts about the 76ers. How would you label this season? Because they made some trades halfway through the year. They got Butler and they got Toby Harris. Yeah. They were going all in, and there was all this optimism. All this tanking was going to be rewarded. And I remember shortly after they made those moves, we had Tom Moore, who covers the Sixers, on the program.
Yes,
and we're like, all right,
time, yeah.
Aren't you really excited for this? And he's like, no, I don't think this is going to work, at least not this year. And it was kind of like, wow. And shortly after that, you can kind of see that they were good, but not – they didn't have that same momentum and that same chemistry that they had the previous year.
Well, I think it was getting there. It's just that you have your two core players need an intervention from ownership. Joel Embiid to get in better shape, to take care of himself better, to not be out the night before a playoff game, running around backstage some comedy club, and then then call the coach at 6 o'clock in the morning and say, I don't think I can play. I need an IV.
Yeah.
And fans saw him out the night before. Just not a good optic at all. And he was a disaster the last two out of the last three games. The last game, the game seven, he played okay. But you're supposed to be, you're telling us you want to be the best player in the game, in the history of the game?
Yeah.
And you can't even get on the field because you're so sick. And you got sick because you didn't take care of yourself. And that's one thing. And that's where the owner has to come in. We can't keep dumping everything on Brett Brown. I think from an X's and O's standpoint, he did a solid job, mm-hmm. especially the way he meshed with Jimmy Butler, who is a...
Well, is he not an easy guy to mesh with?
No, he's not, but he did a great job with him. He kind of let him be the big mouth out there. He mm-hmm. really pushed people out on the court. And I loved it. I mean, when I was playing sports as a youth, I had guys on my team like that, and I loved it. And I think players responded to him well out there. The Sixers probably should be in the finals right here. Yeah. If Joel Embiid had been playing, and then the other thing that they have to do is Ben Simmons. The owners have got to get Harris, Elton Brand, general manager. Stop with the Brett Brown stuff. They need to sit him down and say, you're either going to work on this shot. If you have to go to a sports psychologist
absolutely.
About why you can't take a stinking jump shot in
does
a game.
Does he even acknowledge he has a problem that he can't shoot a basketball?
If you
right
ask
now?
Him about it, he
no.
gets all huffy about
yeah.
it. And the thing is, he's coming down the court. Now, you remember he got booed in the game one of the against.
He didn't respond well to that.
No, and then he comes out the next game and he's having some fun with the fans. He's doing the thing with his ear like Iverson, and he kind of brought everybody back. Yeah. He did a good job there, and he played incredible. He had a all-star game in that. But then I think the third game, or even in that game, he comes down the court. Nobody covers him when he's outside. If it's a set play and he can't do his thing on the fast break, he is wide open. There isn't nobody within a zip code of him, and they're ahead by 25. Mm-hmm. Take a shot.
This was the Net series, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the crowd is roaring for him. Take a three. Mm-hmm. You're ahead by 25. There's only 8 minutes left to go in the game. You've won. Take the stinking shot, and he wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a major issue in a nutshell.
Yeah, and I think Jimmy Butler comes back. I mean, I like these guys. I like Jimmy Butler. I like Tobias Harris. They can help you win a title.
Do you think both will come back? I don't know if they can do it
if they want to. Yeah, sure. Because they have their existing contracts. They can offer them anything they want and not get penalized for it because they're on their team. Mm-hmm. If they were going to another team, they can't add that fifth year, which is a lot more money. And so the Eagles have all the cards in their hands, sign these guys, whether or not they want to come here.
All right, we'll take our final break of the evening. And as we head to break, our friends from DKN recently did a story on the outstanding powerhouse that is the McKinley High School track and field team as part of their DKN Sports Report that airs right here on RCN-TV on Friday afternoons at 4:30 p.m. Here's a sample of that feature.
Strict academics with spirited athletics, and you'll get McKinley Tech High School in Northeast DC.
We're what I call a full base academic athletic school. Most of the schools in DC, they're one or the other. They're either academic or they're athletic. We're probably the only school that features more academic than athletic. So when we get kids in here, we're not getting the typical athletic kid. We're getting kids who are coming from maybe, you know, public charter schools or schools where they didn't do physical education. So we're developing them over a four-year period.
That development starts in the classroom with an emphasis on high-level coursework in preparation for profitable careers in STEM. That's science, technology, engineering, and math.
McKinley Technology is the flagship STEM high school in Washington, D.C. We are one of the only high schools in the Atlantic region that offers 28 credit hours. Most high schools, you are allowed to graduate with 24. We require 28. Every student here will have to choose a what we call a diploma track, and it's IT, engineering, or biotech. So everyone here has to choose one of those. And then every student here has to choose two AP courses prior to graduation. So that's something that you won't find at most high schools across the country. But we require it here at McKinley. So it's a very rigorous program. But I'm happy and pleased to say that our kids are meeting that challenge every day. We have close to 96% graduation rate. So we're one of the highest in the country.
Structure, teamwork, and organization in the classroom translates to the sports as well.
It's hard to balance both school and track. It requires self-discipline, and I try to balance it equally. Of course, education comes first, so I try to put more effort into my education and keep my GPA at like about 4.0 and keep my ranking around like top 10.
With a rigorous academic program, it instills the discipline that you need in all types of sports. So whether that's making sure you get the proper rest or the proper diet. I often hear our coaches, like our track coach, Coach Metz, talk to his young runners about making sure they hydrate their bodies.
With cross country, it's a team sport. And so you're teaching them how to bond, you're teaching them how to relate to each other, you're teaching them how to connect. Because the main thing with cross country is about connection. They have to connect. That the closer they are as a team, the closer they have opportunities to be a winning team when it comes to cross country.
These methods created success in sports and scholarship.
I was named All-State Mets, and this year I was also named for All-Around Washington team for DC.
It was good. It felt really good because I was there last year watching people receiving the awards, and I was like, I got to get that one. And so I did. To be number one in DC is very competitive. I worked hard for it last year and still working hard for it to keep that position. And there's always somebody looking to catch you, and so we have to put on more work to make sure that you keep that position.
If you want a guaranteed opportunity to make it to the next level, beyond high school, post-secondary, this is the facility for you. We've sent so many kids to college academically, athletically, and a lot of them receive scholarships. We have generally have the highest GPA out of kids who are attending and going to the next level. This is the place for you. McKinley Tech High School, track and field.
Sports or studies. At McKinley Tech High School, it's a balancing act.
Final segment of tonight's show, it's time for the roundtable, where we have a variety of different sports topics that we've put before our panelists, looking for an entertaining exchange of thoughts and opinions, dealing with several different issues, MLB, NFL, high school football, and more. So let's see what Alan Keith opined on several topics. Topic number one, what's the biggest change that Major League Baseball must do to make up for the sagging attendance? Ratings are down, attendance is down, most ballparks. The Phillies are doing better, but of course when you spend over $600 million in an offseason, that'll bring some more people out. But otherwise, baseball continues to struggle to get, especially younger fans. So Al, we'll start with you. What big change do you think
they
should do?
I was looking at this earlier and I came up with three things. One is take some pages out of minor league baseball. Make the players more like a petting zoo, you know what I mean? Like they can get up close and personal a little bit more than they do. I know some players come out and sign autographs ahead of time, but they need to take maybe something out of the Arena Football League and Minor League Baseball and be a little bit more up close and personal with their players. The stadiums that are struggling, Kansas City, they had famously shown a doubleheader where one of the games was, the stadium was empty.
Yeah.
And is open.
Some of these day games, it looks like around the country that stadiums are practically
open. Let the upper deck be free. Your vendors are going to make a ton of money. They're going to be happier. If you believe in your product, people will come back and pay for the tickets. But I think that they should let them. Just open up. The Sixers did that one year where they had the entire upper deck. It was like $10, and they packed the place. It was more people in the upper deck than there were in the lower deck because the tickets were like so cheap. So that's it. And make the speed the game up a little bit. But the other things is you believe in your product, then let people in for free right now if it's getting that bad, mm-hmm. You know?
Good points. Keith?
I'm going to go to a bit of a sensitive part of this thing. I'm going to the topic of race, and I truly believe that MLB has got to reach into the inner cities. I know they're trying, but they've got to get more African-American players involved in this game. This game, to me, when I was a kid, it was my favorite players were Lou Brock, Bob Gibson, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron. These were the guys who dominated the game. And right now, the African-American community is checked out on this sport. They just go to basketball and football because there's not enough. Ken Griffey Jr. is gone. I mean, a lot of the African-American stars, they're not there anymore. And we need to develop more of them. And then that would bring a whole demographic back to the ballpark. And I think that would help. I really do.
Very interesting.
All right, topic number two. What's the next big move for any Philadelphia sports fan? Now, we were talking about before we came on that the Eagles and the Phillies kind of have a little bit of a rivalry in terms of PR.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper signs, and then they make some major announcements. And they kind of go back and forth. So what's the big shoe to drop? Sixers, you know, I have some big decisions to make with the free agents. Phillies cannot get Craig Kimbrell. It looks like he's going to be going to Chicago. So they may not be looking to make a big splash, at least right away. And, of course, the Eagles are always on the lookout for something. So.
Yeah, the Phillies had to wait for the draft to be over to make that pitch for a pitcher. But the next big move, I think, is that the Sixers are going to go all out and sign Jimmy Butler.
They are going to sign Jimmy Butler. Okay. And Keith, what's the next big Philly sign?
Well, I got to say really quick, I think that everybody's doing a pretty good job, except maybe the Flyers. So I don't know who the Flyers could be. Is there any stars out there in hockey land that the Flyers could? Because they're the one franchise, Al, that's lagging way behind right now, the other three. Well, the other three are all moving at different paces, but all the other three are moving in the right direction, I believe.
The NHL, just their biggest problem is they don't market their stars like the other sports do. Most of the time, players from the NFL, NBA, they're already stars when they arrive. From their college. And baseball, sagging attendance, sagging TV ratings, they don't do a good job of that either. So hockey, they've got to find a way to either promote the minor leagues or the college game or whatever. But you can't depend on the Big Ten Network to show, college hockey. So
could you get rid of Gritty? I'm sorry, I may be the only one in America who doesn't like him. But I think it's stupid.
Like 15,000 people voted for him in the 2018 election for governor. I mean, the most precious thing you have. I'm going to get weird here, but
overblown. You're right. Absolutely.
All right. And topic number three. I know it's June, but as Joe Craig would used to say around this time, we got to start talking high school football. It's almost high school football season. So in honor to Joe, I can't wait for high school football this fall because, fill in the blank, what big exciting thing you're expecting for high school football?
Well, mine is not a positive one. It's we had the high school sports scene, and the jump from high school to college is in total disgrace right now because of the college admission scandal. You had this knucklehead from IMG Academy flying around the country taking exams for high school kids.
Yeah.
There's just something dramatically wrong with that. He's literally using fake IDs. They were bribing the SAT official.
20 seconds. So they're just
Will high school leaders, high school football leaders, take back the sport? That's what I want to see.
I'm going to throw in there, I can't wait for the Grenadier Band, my favorite band in the land, the Liberty High School Grenadier Band. They put on a show by themselves.
They put on a show for you, too,
They did a couple weeks ago.
All right. Don't forget, we're off next week for the McDonald's football game. Make sure you head out to Andrew Lay Stadium and support that great cause. And then we'll see you at Buffalo Wild Wings 2 weeks in a row for some special shows. Go to the website for more information. For Al and Keith, I'm Chris. Good night. Thanks for watching, everyone.